Hi there, everyone. This is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom. This is the show where we talk about the Akashic Records. We talk about your issues, your problems, and we just talk about questions that you might have. And so if you're at all curious about the Akashic Records or how they work or how they could work in your life, give me a call here at BBS Radio on Station 2. And again, my name is Donna Fox, and I am going to get those numbers for you as long as I'm sitting here, by the way, but in front of my computer. And so if you would like to email a question, you certainly can do that. You can email me a question tonight at info@akashicwisdom.com. And that's what we are going to do. Okay. And you can call in tonight. Let's see. Let me get those numbers. Oh, where'd they go? I don't know what. Oh, there they are. Okay. You can call into 530-413-4511. Or you can call 530-413-4515. Or you can call 530-413-4520. Okie doke. And so I am here, and I would just love to talk to you. So what are we talking about tonight? Let's see. Interestingly enough, we were talking a little bit about astrology, actually with some friends earlier, and we're also talking about just different things that you can do to actually help yourself become more centered and grounded. I just want you to know that I'm looking for something here. That's why I'm kind of babbling. Let me get where I was at. Okay, here, wait. There we are. I was doing some thinking today. That's now I'm back in my body. Have you guys noticed that it's been very weird about the way the energies have been running this past week? I know that for me, it's been very, very hard. Very, very hard to stay focused and stay awake. I don't know about it, if anybody else has experienced that. But a friend of mine let me know that Mercury went retrograde. Sometimes that is an issue for me, personally. And sometimes I don't even notice it. But the energies have been very... The best word I can use for you is, in some cases, very disorienting. There have been times, and that's not just me, I've heard this from other people, where there seems to be like an inertia. It's almost like being in the eye of the hurricane, where you know that time is being sped up all around you, but yet you're in this vacuum. And that's what I've kind of noticed, that this week has been a very, very much of a vacuum type of week. So the question that we have for tonight is that the question, I'm actually not understanding this, is what do the Akashic Record Keeper, Master Teachers and Loved Ones have to say about this astrology? I'm not sure if the question is about astrology in general or about the fact that during a Mercury retrograde, it pushes us towards a better understanding of the concept of organization, and that this time will be truer than ever. And so that's what the comment is for this particular Mercury retrograde. And just again, if you've not listened before, I want to share with you that I access the Akashic Records through a specific sacred prayer. It's not something I made up. It's not anything that that I go into meditation for. This is a sacred prayer that shifts the energy and makes the information accessible. And I've been working with these records for the last 14 years. So there's an answer here around astrology itself. You have to understand that there are certain tools that have been given to us for our time here on Earth that we can use to assist us in understanding ourselves better. And astrology is one of them. Numerology is another. And so I can go on with that. But we have a caller. Hello, caller.
Hi, my name is Catherine.
Hi, Catherine.
Appreciate you taking my call. You'll probably laugh when something possessed me to call you about this. You might have some words of wisdom, or you could just tell me I'm nuts and I can hang up. But I did the funniest thing. I adopted a beautiful little female dog, and I took care of her, treated her wonderfully for 2 years, and then with financial issues and stress and working so much and just all the changes going on, I said, you know what, I can't keep her anymore, and I gave her up, and I'm feeling so bad, and I just wondered if you had any words of wisdom for me. What would possess someone to do that?
Give them up or adopt them to begin with?
Both.
No, that sounds like I don't like animals. That's absolutely not true. I love animals. I love cats. I love dogs. I love horses. I love all the animals. That's not what I'm saying. But, Catherine, do you just spell your first name for me?
Is yes. I'm funny. I was raised by my middle name, but I'm Catherine Laurie. So Catherine with a C-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E.
C-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E. Catherine. Is it
L-A-U-R?
L-O-R-Y. L-O-R-Y. Okay. And what was the name of your animal? Was it little puppy?
Yes. It was, her nickname was Cody, C-O-D-Y.
Okay. And how old was Cody when you got her, and how old was she when you gave her up?
I appreciate your patience with me. I adopted her when she was 2, and I gave her up when she was almost 4. And
okay.
I gave her a lot of care. She was from a puppy mill. She was very sickly and didn't have any care her first 2 years of life. So I gave her constant vet care and exercise, and she was very healthy when I turned her over just a few days ago.
Who did you give her to?
I gave her to a special rescue group for small animals where they put them in foster homes and they make sure there's, you know, like a compatible match. But it still feels, you know, like to love something so much and then but say almost like, I know I can't do this for another 10 years and that, you know, you could have a better path. But I just wondered, I don't know what possessed me to call you about it, but I thought maybe she has some words of wisdom for me. I know that
sure.
I always did well for her, but I just wondered if you had any thoughts on that.
Well, first of all, Catherine, or do you want me to call you Laurie? I can do that. Do you feel better with Laurie?
I'm used to Catherine now, to be honest with you. I've been going by that name since I was for several years now, my real name.
Okay. All right. Well, first of all, Catherine, you have to understand that what you made the choice to do is creating a lot of emotions in a lot of different ways. And quite frankly, no one knows what the circumstances of their life is going to be. Initially, when you and Cody were called to be together, It was what I'm hearing, very much a meant to be. So Cody really came into your life to give you the opportunity to expand your ability to love.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm also hearing from the master's teachers and loved ones was at that time, you truly needed someone to take care of. You needed to be able to focus. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you are exactly right. I needed something to hold and to love.
Right. And so the idea is your decision to give her up, what I'm hearing was not an easy decision for you.
Right.
And where you're having the grief is it's and I'm not trying to be dramatic, but I'm telling you exactly what I'm hearing. It's like a mom giving up her kid.
Yep, exactly.
And so a part of your heart is really is really aching. A good part. I mean, your heart is aching because you miss her.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another part of you that feels free. Don't feel guilty about feeling free.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is that we have agreements with not only the people that come into our lives, but also the animals that come into our lives. And Cody is a very special being. She has a way of giving a lot of love. And there are some other things that maybe she has about her that made it frustrating at times. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm. Yep, totally. Yep. You're very astute.
Yeah, and so the idea here is...
stressful for me for different things, yep.
Yeah, and so the idea here...
A lot of money and she had aggression towards other dogs. It was like a full-time job, you know, constant.
Sure.
It's gotten harder with me working more and finding... But above all, she's very, very loving. So I feel embarrassed to be asking you to spend your energies talking about a pet, but...
No, why? No. There's no. First of all, let me just say this to you, that pets have a soul the same way we do.
Mm-hmm.
Animals are as important in our lives as people, in the fact that when we choose to bring an animal into our lives, one of the things the animal has agreed to is to allow you to love them. Now, for you to have kept Cody at a point where it would just have created more frustration, and it would have turned, the love would have turned to resentment. Does that make sense to you?
You're right. Mm-hmm.
And when the love turns to resentment, it moves into a, then she would not have gotten the care that she needed.
Mm-hmm.
Because the love would have not been there for you to give to her. Better that she would go to a place where they can love her, and
mm-hmm.
they can offer her the right kind of a home that is appropriate. You rescued her. You know, the reality is that you rescued her for a reason. And so it's important for you to feel good about that, and it's important for you to stand strong in your decisions.
Right.
What is very important here for you to look at is that what I'm hearing is there is a pattern here around relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And the pattern around relationships is that there are this comes from a deep place, that there are times where you actually will walk away from a relationship before the relationship has a chance to hurt you. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. That comes from being So what the master's teachers and loved ones are saying to me with. They're suggesting that you remember what happened when you were like between 4 and 5 years old.
Wow, very interesting.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
And so you need to look at that and how that relates to your relationships now as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
It does.
And
very intuitive.
Well, I'm not intuitive. First of all, let me just share with you, I'm not intuitive at all. I'm not a psychic. I'm not doing psychic work here. The work of the Akashic Records is that I'm right now in the Akashic energy, the Akashic Record energy, and you've given permission for me to move into your energy, your Akashic Record energy, and so the masters, teachers, and loved ones are bringing forth information that you need to know. So I'm just telling you exactly what I see, hear, or sometimes feel. I'm not interpreting anything. I'm telling you what I'm hearing. And
right.
So, and it's not channeling. If you were sitting across from me, Catherine, you'd see that my eyes are wide open. I'm in full personality. But what's important
right.
here...
It's something you pulled out of my mind because what you said makes sense, but it would be the last thing I would think of on my own.
Right.
Like you pulled it out of me.
Right. No, no. But it is your information. So the idea is this is deep information that what they're suggesting is that you take a look at the impact of your experiences around those ages.
I wonder how you tap into them when you're not consciously, you know, remembering.
For example, right now, what you want to do is take a look at your personal emotional timeline of relationships and how long they typically last.
Mm-hmm.
And the relationships that you have have what I'm hearing is, again, they're not showing me what it is, but they're what I'm hearing is there was a deep betrayal of truth at those ages.
Hmm.
And also when you were like 7 or 8 and 14 and 19. And so the idea is as the betrayal of truth, as a child, there were things that you saw or that you felt or that you knew that when you expressed yourself, you were told you were wrong.
Hmm.
Can you remember that?
In some ways, I think I know what this, yeah.
Okay. All right. And so the idea here is, I'm sorry?
No, I think that I have a few, I think I know what, you know, maybe along the lines of abuse or something like that. I think that although I basically had a happy childhood, I think there might be some elements of that. So that would make
sense.
Well,
a happy childhood can also hold elements of emotional abuse that we don't realize. In other words, like children are children, and they don't even realize it's emotional abuse when it's happening. In some cases, and they don't even realize it as adults until they actually go. They take a look at their life and they look at the patterns and they say, "Wow, where'd I get that from?" And so the idea is it's really about looking at the patterns, the relationship patterns, and the trust factor. And then how, and your own personal, willingness or desire to be vulnerable. Because there's a part of you that doesn't want, you deeply want to love and be loved, but in a way that's safe. But there's also a part of you that doesn't want to be vulnerable. It's almost like you don't want to really, show your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so what's important for you, Catherine, is to take a look at how these patterns have affected your life. Now, you know, again, we're just talking on the radio. It's not as deep as it could be, you know. So the idea is you really want to be able to take a look at this on your own, journal out what your feelings are. And you can also, you know, I call me at another time or call me offline. I'm happy to give you my number. And where do you live, by the way?
Upstate
New York. Okay. Yeah. And so, you know, I'm in Ohio. I do classes here in Ohio. I do telephone consultations all over the country, in fact, even internationally.
Okay.
And so I'll give you my number at my office. It's 216.
Hold on a minute. And Ohio's not that far away, actually.
Right. But you don't have, in other words, like you wouldn't necessarily have to come face-to-face. You could do it on the telephone, but if you wanted to take a class, you clearly could do one here in Ohio, you know, if you wanted to learn how to open your own personal Akashic records.
This is fantastic. I really appreciate this. Okay, go ahead. I've got a pencil.
It's 216.
216.
691-1233.
Okay, great. One thing I can see right off the bat is some of the things you talked about tonight, I can see why my life just is like, I feel like a rat on a wheel where I can't get out of whatever it is, I'm stuck. You probably hear that from a lot of people, but that's how I feel.
Well, sure.
I'm stuck. As much as I try to rise above issues or to be creative or this or that, it just feels like I'm stuck on with things that I don't know that I'm stuck on or something like that.
Well, again, one of the things that would be important is, you know, we have so many different levels of I was yawning, not the company here, but we have so many different levels. We have so many different levels of consciousness that when we come to the point of looking at the reasons for our stuckness, for example, or our money problems, even if the individual has done a lot of work from a point of view personal work, you know, light working and personal growth.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's many different schools of thought. I mean, a person could do emotional freedom technique and tap, and some people don't need to know the core issues. They can just tap it away, and that's very effective. Other people go to NLP, and for many people, that's very effective. And then other people, the dawning happens, and when they find out what the core issue is, and they make a conscious choice no longer to be living under that weight of another person's, not just opinion, but there are issues, and this is not just with you, Catherine, but I'm just talking to you because we're having a conversation here, and this is for many people who are listening, that the underlying piece that we need to look at is either who are we blaming, who are we trying to discredit, who are we trying to make right, or who are we trying to make wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're blaming someone else for your issues, even if it was unfortunate incidences in childhood, the idea that we're adults, we need to move forward in a way that says those people no longer are going to control me. Those beliefs and those ideas are no longer going to control me. And then the other part is if a person has patterns that are creating their stuckness and they don't know why, again, take a look underneath of who are you trying to make right?
Mm-hmm.
Or who are you trying to discredit? I'm sorry? Mm-hmm.
Or protect their image or whatever. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the idea here is that when we base our actions, and again, this can be very unconscious, but once it comes to the surface, it's very important for us to acknowledge that we no longer have to live by anybody else's opinions or our opinions of how we want to leave that personal light. Yeah, and so no matter how we look at it, it's all a matter of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really about moving out of our judgment and into our acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Is that helpful?
Very good. Very good. I appreciate it talking with you very much tonight. I will definitely call you.
Yeah,
definitely.
Have you listened to this program before?
Are you new on this time slot? Are you new on this time slot? Or
no, I've been here for about 3 years.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
That's okay. Oh, no, that's all right.
There's certain nights I've tuned in, but I'm not accustomed to tuning in to hearing you, so.
Well, that's okay, because maybe you've been on station one rather than on station two. I'm glad you listened tonight. It was very important. No, I've been here for a while.
What did you say about station one and station two?
Did you
change stations?
Sometimes people listen on station one or station two, and I just, you know, so it depends on where you've been listening. That's if you were listening to station one, you wouldn't have seen me.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
That's okay.
Very
you know,
good.
But you're here tonight, and hopefully, you know, and you just need to know that Cody's okay.
Yes, no, you're very, very good about picking up on that. And I loved her with all my heart when I had her, and I just thought it was for both best for the both of us that I let her move on. So
yeah.
But thank you, thank you for talking to me. And it's Dana, right? Dana Fox.
No, it's Donna.
Okay.
Donna.
Okay.
Donna.
Yeah. Got it. I appreciate all your time. You've been very generous with me. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Catherine. Take care. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night. So first of all, I want to thank Catherine for calling in tonight. Hopefully that was helpful for many people out there. When we make a decision to let something go in our life, and I know that there's probably a lot of animal lovers out there that said, well, how can somebody go ahead and get an animal and then let it go? That's a tough decision. It's a hard decision. I don't have to tell you. You know that it is hard. That's why they have rescue homes and people take in animals. It's better that a person be honest with themselves about what works or what doesn't work. And it's really important. It's very, very important to be honest with yourself about what you want in your life. And it's also important to be able to, if in fact your situation is such that you have to be able to give an animal up, do give it to a rescue home. Going to the Animal Protective League, you know, is scary for the animals, very scary. Whereas if you can go to a shelter or a rescue, they will put the animals in a foster care where they will get love and have a way with others, and we'll be okay. So we all make tough decisions in our lives, decisions that are hard. We have hard decisions sometimes, and so we need to be able to be responsible for the decisions we make and what things cost. From our emotional point of view, from our spiritual point of view, and our physical and emotional point of view, and financial as well. So we do appreciate the call. So back to, we're talking about astrology here. So I was talking, and so again, if anybody wants to call in, we would love to have you call in and ask a question and about your life. There's no stupid question, by the way. The call-in numbers are 530-413-4511 or 530-413-4515 or 530-413-4520. Certainly, if you want to do that, or if you know somebody who's driving in their car and they'd like to listen on the way in, they can dial in to 712-432-0075. And the access code is 318-1116. Okay, so talking about astrology, as I said, that when we come in, we are given some tools. We are given the astrology, which obviously people know is the way that the time that we chose to be born, the place we were chose to be born at, That is an important piece. That's an important tool for us because the time of our birth gives us not only the information about what can help us, but also the challenges. So there's that energetic aspect. And then when we choose our name vibration, that's also very important. And so then learning more about our name vibration from the numerology standpoint is also real important because we think our parents name us. That's actually not true. We've already chosen the name vibration that we want as spirit before we come in. And we give that to our parents because when we use the name vibration along with the astrology, it creates a synergy here that can be tracked and used to help us. Oh, great. We have another caller. Hi, caller. Who is this?
Hi.
Hi. Who is this?
My name is Teddy.
Tebbi, T-E-B-B-I.
That's right. Man, most people get that wrong. They either spell it with a Y or they spell it with an I-E or something.
Well, where are you calling from, Tebbi?
Sacramento, California.
Oh, great. Okay. I'm going to be in California at the end of October.
Oh,
not near San,
cool.
I mean, San Diego. I mean, you know, it's a little bit of a drive.
Yeah. They're not exactly our neighbors, but
yeah,
we like them down there anyway.
It's all in one state, one end of the state to another. Anyway, how can the Akashic Record Masters, teachers, and loved ones help you tonight, Tebbi?
Well, first I wanted to thank you for the previous caller, Catherine. I just loved that call.
Great.
And it inspired me. I almost never call into radio shows, but it so inspired me that I just called because I am really at a transition point in my life.
Okay.
And I am in a little confusion as to what is my role. I knew this transition was coming, and I thought it was going to look a certain way, and all of a sudden it looks like it might look a different way. Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Uh-huh.
And I just don't quite know where to go with it. And what it is I have two children who are now both 18, over 18, and my first one moved out a couple years ago, and he wasn't doing so terrific. He just was kind of lost, didn't know where he was going. Anyway, but he was off doing his thing. My second one was a daughter. She was doing great. She graduated from high school and just went off to college. And now I've known it's like she was going to go and I was going to be an empty nester, and how was that transition going to be for me? And I anticipated that transition happening. Well, just before she left, all of a sudden, child number one boomerangs back. So, surprise, when child number two goes, I didn't come home to the empty nest I thought. Here's my older child. And so my question really is, I don't know whether, I think he needs some help, but he also needs to be allowed to take his own bumps and, you know, find his own way. And I just don't know whether this has fallen in my lap because we need time to do our healing together, or I need to sit back and give him a lot of freedom, or and just sort of act like I'm an empty nester because he's 22, or what?
So why did he move back?
I don't
back?
Know what this means that he is back with me.
Why did he move back?
Are you asking me that question?
Yes.
Because he had no other place to go. No job, no money. No.
And is he looking for a job now?
That's a good question. I think he would say that he was, but I don't think he's making a lot of movements toward that. I think he gives it a cursory effort once in a while.
What does he do?
Not too much, although we have had the conversation like you need to, you know, in order to be here, you need to be looking for a job, you need to, you know, contribute to the household and do some things. So it's kind of it feels like a kind of a battle to corral him into let's see. I don't really mean the word corral.
But you do want me the word battle.
But it does sort of feel that way. Like,
okay.
I feel kind of like either I need to, I guess I don't know whether to have complete unconditional love and go, okay, you know, I don't want you to be out on the streets, or I kicked him out once a couple years ago, you know, from a place of what I thought was tough love.
Well, but, Tebbi, the question is, you have to understand that unconditional love does not mean no boundaries.
Yes. I do understand that.
That's a very important piece. You know, unconditional love doesn't mean you can do whatever you want. Unconditional love means I'm going to love you no matter what you do. Whatever your choices are, I'm going to love you. Doesn't mean I'm going to enable you, but I will always love you.
Right.
Doesn't mean I'll always agree with you, but I will always love you.
Right. I understand that, and I'm certainly setting boundaries.
What are the consequences
of
him not working?
Pardon?
What are the consequences of him not working?
That's a good question. I have not really set that. And I know I need to do that.
Do you give him money?
No.
So how does he how does he go out with his friends if he wants to go out, or how does he buy food, or how does he survive?
I don't know. But I don't give him money. A couple times he's done jobs around the house that I paid him for, but mostly I ask him to, you know, do chores around the house just as a contribution. He has to make some kind of exchange.
Right.
For living here. So I know that he doesn't have much.
Well, the thing is if he's come back to live at your house, mm-hmm. and he's not paying rent,
right,
then you as a mom have every right to ask him about what he's doing with his life. What's his first name?
Nick.
Okay, so it's really important that you say, look, Nick, I need to understand what your financial situation is. I need to understand how I can best support you, and I need to know where you're getting your money. If you're not working, is he selling drugs?
You know, I don't think so. I think he just pretty much lives on, you know, his friends drive him around, and I think he gets sort of subsidized by his friends, but I really don't think he's selling drugs.
Okay, well,
I might be pulling the wool over my eyes, you know. I mean, he's certainly not living high on the hog, that's for sure.
Yeah, but the idea here is that letting him do whatever he wants to do without asking him questions to help him with guidance, is that's not unconditional love.
Well, I've been trying to do that. I mean, we had a big conversation yesterday about, okay, what is it looking like? You live in here. I'm not just going to support a lifestyle of doing nothing.
Yeah.
You can do that, but not here. So.
But I want you to notice the anger in your voice.
There's a part of you that feels resentment about it.
Yeah, you got a lot of resentment here. And so notice notice what the tightness in your body when you talk about it.
I know.
So what's going on here is part of you is feeling very helpless, and the other part of you is very angry that you're feeling helpless.
Yep. Spot on.
So how is that, again, this is not to, what the master's teachers and loved ones are saying is notice when you felt that way before, when you felt helpless in the past, and you didn't know what to do, and notice that a lot of it does come from childhood, but it also, if your little kid is talking to his little kid, there's no adults in the conversation.
Mm-hmm. If my helpless and, on the one side, resentful on the other side person is talking to his helpless, resentful person, that's two kids talking to each other and no adults present.
Well, the fact of the matter is it's your little kid that's feeling, there's a part of your little kids that are feeling helpless and resentful because of something that's going on when you were a kid, And then he is feeling, he is also feeling helpless and resentful. Do you see that?
Yeah, I totally see that. Totally.
And so the idea here is his little, so that you got these two little kids that are talking, there's no adult in the conversation, and then you put that on top of his entitlement issues.
Mm-hmm.
And the entitlement issues he learned growing up. Please understand, this is not criticism. It's just helping you become aware of what's going on. Because what happens is, it's going to take a lot for you to really move in within yourself. And then to hopefully get some guidance about what boundaries you can put on this kid so that he's going to feel good about himself. See, it's not about making him feel bad because he's not doing anything.
Right.
He already feels like a loser.
Right, right.
You don't want him to feel like a loser. You want to empower him. And so
right.
It's really about empowering you to empower him. And part of that empowerment has to do with boundaries. And how part of that empowerment has to do with joy. And part of the empowerment also has to do with appreciation and gratitude.
Okay.
It's very hard to empower someone when you're criticizing them.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work.
Right.
And so all you're doing is playing into his victim. Is this making any sense to you?
Yes, I didn't. Can you expand on the last thing that you said, playing into his victim?
Yeah. So the idea is if you're with the situation, what I'm hearing now, what the situation is that he feels that he's feeling helpless and resentful. He doesn't really want to be there any more than you want him there. But
right.
I mean, it is a step backward to have to come back and live with mom. But the reality is that, and living there is, he's clearly in a state of depression. And so the idea is the more he's criticized about, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you need to do this. And it's not the more you do that, the more resentful he becomes, and the more victimized he feels.
Okay.
So it's not about. So I know it sounds like I'm talking out of two sides of my mouth here, but the reality is that the way it's about setting boundaries so that he can assist himself in setting his own boundaries of what he's willing to do and what he's not willing to do. And you're the same way. You have to set the boundaries of what you're willing to do and what you're not willing to do. And there has to be areas that you appreciate about him.
Mm-hmm.
And there's things that you have to tell him about that you love him. See, the thing is it's really about helping him. And you asked your original question was, why is he here? What's the purpose of him coming back in my life like this? And the purpose for that is for you to actually, in teaching him boundaries, learn more boundaries about yourself.
Okay.
In empowering him, you learn how to empower yourself. Because you're also on a treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help? You know that, right?
Yeah.
The treadmill part, okay? And so the idea here is, remember that children are raised by what they see.
Mm-hmm.
Good or bad, by the way, but the only way you can really shift him is to model something different.
Boy, I completely know that to be true, and
uh-huh.
It's not clear to me how to model something different, because obviously, I'm modeling what he's learned, but what I work a lot, and that's the treadmill that I'm on. So, obviously, it's not a direct modeling, but, you know, obviously I'm modeling because I have the result.
Well, here's the deal. is what he saw modeled was a way of I have to wait for them for the download and the information to come. What I'm hearing is that he learned at an early age how to make you feel guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea here is the way, now, was his father ever in his life?
Yes, and no. I mean, his father was, most of his life, his father was ill, and his father died when he was 15. Exactly 7 years ago today. Interesting.
And so what kind of help did he get when that happened?
Oh, what kind of, well, sort of a long story. He initially, we did a little kind of a therapy thing, but which he didn't really like, and then we didn't really do a lot more until he was, when he was 17, he went to a wilderness program and then a program for 18 months that was a therapy program. So he's done a lot of, I mean, he lived at this therapy program.
But the piece here is that another, is there, was his dad living with you when he was ill?
No. We divorced when Nick was 7.
Yeah, that's what I was getting, is that however your relationship was with men or with other people, authority figures or partners, is how he's learned how to react to people.
Okay.
As well as, so all that's being said here is that you taught him a long time ago how to treat you.
Yes.
And so now you have to be able to pull back and actually say to him, I mean, in other words, like, it comes to the right time, but when you're ready, you have to say, you know, Nick, I want to start out on a fresh step here. This is what I've learned about myself. And this is the way I want to live my life, and explain whatever that is. But mm-hmm. But the idea here is that it's about empowering this kid.
Right.
He needs to be empowered. But and they keep coming back. And again, it's a 15-minute phone call. It can't answer this whole thing. And but he's here. He's here to help you empower you, so that you can empower him. That's real important.
Okay.
For you to know. Okay. And
that's really terrific, because I know that what I want to do is empower him. I know that clearly, and I feel disempowered to empower him. So what you just told me is I'm looking at it backwards.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to look at it the other way. That
mm-hmm.
it's
yes.
I rather than. Regardless of me being empowered or not empowered or whatever I am, I have to empower him.
Well,
it's not quite the way it needs to be, is what I'm hearing you say. Is I need to work on empowering myself.
Well, it's we teach what we most need to learn.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, and so the idea here is it's really going to be important for you to learn about what works for you. When he sees mm-hmm. the changes in you and your attitude, it's amazing what happens when you change around you.
Right.
Now here's the other piece. Okay, there's a book called Infinite Possibilities mm-hmm. by a man by the name of Mike Dooley.
Okay.
And you can get it on Amazon. It's a great book, but I would recommend that you, as well as Nick, read it.
Okay.
And the website for Mike Dooley is, let's see, I'm going to get it for you in a moment here.
I've heard of him. I get. I think I signed up for his little email.
Those messages every day.
Notes of the Universe. Is that it?
Yes. Exactly.
Yes. Oh, they're terrific.
Don't they make your day?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they're right on the money. They really
yes,
are.
They are.
And you need to sign him up for one.
Okay.
Okay. You need to give him his own email and have him sign up for one.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, that sounds
That's
good.
Going to be uh-huh. very, very important. All right.
Okay.
Because he needs to be able to be empowered, and this is a great way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
And for anybody who wants, it's www.tut.com. It's great. Mike Dooley does great work, and it's again www.t as in Tom, u as in you as in usual, and t as in tom.com. And so but he has these wonderful, wonderful things. It's like to give you folks an example, on Thursday. He wrote, Shaping, Shifting, Molding, Making, What People Do When They Discover Their Imagination. Spinning, Curling, Dipping, Twirling, What People Do When They Discover Their Wings. Beaming, Marveling, Basking, Sparkling, What People Do When They Discover Love.
Nice.
Basking, Donna, the universe. And then his comment at the bottom, his Go for it all, the triple crown. Because thoughts become things. And so it's really, the empowerment has to do with shifting and changing your thoughts. And that's what you have to help him do. Because
I think the only way I could do that is to do my own.
Perfect. And that's what happened on Friday. He said, if you want better from others, Donna, be better yourself.
Yes, yes.
You know, always
Thank
bring it
so
home
much.
And then watch how others change. And so the idea is that you have a wonderful power, Teddy, in this universe.
Yes.
And these kids have come to you for a reason.
What comes
and
to
so
me for a reason?
The, your children have
oh,
come into your
yeah.
life for, okay?
Yes.
I don't know if this has answered your question. Was it? Did it
oh,
did that...
yes. It's really been very helpful. I feel considerably different than when I first called. So
great.
I know it's been helpful. Yes,
good.
Absolutely. I feel more, well, just that notion of turning it around and my wanting
right.
to empower him, you know, I know that, of course. Of course, the universe rearranges itself to fit our picture of it, and
yeah.
but I just had forgotten. So that was
well,
really helpful. Just turn it around and live the change I want to see, you know?
Yeah.
All those
you
things,
do-
they're all true, and I just mm-hmm. forget from time to time, and you've helped me remember. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, if you'd like to be on my email list, you just email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. And I will definitely, you know, let you know. Every now and then I'll send out, like, messages from the Akasha or you know, my own kind of little brand of notes from the universe. So if you'd like to get those, please email me. Anybody is also welcome to email me at info@akashicwisdom.com, and happy to send that out when it strikes me.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a good evening. Thanks for
you
calling.
Too.
You helped a lot of people. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. And I just want to say that to everyone. You know, there's not anyone who calls. You think you're calling for yourself, but you want to know something? You're not. You're calling for everyone else. So, for example, I just got an email from a regular listener who said, I have a friend who I am trying to convince to give up a dog. She wants to thank Catherine for calling because, again, as we said before, you have to be true to yourself about what will work and what won't. So that's really, really important. Really, really important. And we also got another email from someone wanting to understand what energetically is happening to her over the next month. I've got to tell you, first of all, darling, if you wouldn't mind, just go ahead, and if you want me to answer a question that any of you have, if you're going to email me, please include your current legal name. But what's important is that the Akashic Records work is not necessarily about futures. And it's not necessarily about past lives. I mean, futures, there's many possibilities or probabilities. And so it's really important for you to understand, for all of you to understand, that as Mike Dooley so aptly says, thoughts are things. And so choose the good ones. But your thoughts do create your reality. And the choices you, and what else, what the masters, teachers, and loved ones say, the choices you make today create your future. They create your reality for tomorrow. So it's very important that you really understand where your, what your choices are and what, and how they, advance or how they are serving you in this time. So here's what's important for you to know tonight. You all have amazing powers of discernment, of the ability to love, and you've all been put on this planet for a reason. You made the choice to come here. Now, you can make it miserable or you can make it joyful. You can make it exciting or you can make it dull. You can make it spontaneous or you can plan your life. Or you can do both. The idea here is there's nothing around, nothing wrong with being spontaneous and having a plan. But just remember that sometimes universe will walk in and shift that plan around, and it's really important and key that you be open to infinite possibilities of all that there is for you. That's what's important. I love to hear from you, both email or regular comments on when you call in. I love these gals that called in tonight, and I look forward to talking with you next week. And again, my name is Donna Fox. That's D-A-H-N-A, Donna Fox. info@akashicwisdom.com is the email address. I'm going to also be in San Diego at the end of October teaching a level one and a level two. And I'm also going to be doing three different lectures at three different locations. So bring your questions if you'd like to meet me live. I'd love to meet you. And I think we're done. I think we're done for the evening. I hope you have a wonderful, miracle-filled week. And I love talking to you. So keep those cards and emails and letters coming in. I love talking to you. And the phone calls, too. So I'm going to shut close the records now. And look forward to hearing from you in whatever way that you think is important. And for those of you who liked what you heard and would like to schedule a personal individual telephone consultation, I'm always available for that as well. So we want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information, not only for all the folks that called in, but for all those who are listening. We want to thank you for your wisdom and your expansion of our spirit. And with that, we close the Akashic Records by saying amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed, if you'll all join me in saying amen. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful, miracle-filled week. This is Donna Fox, over and out.